Shalom, and welcome to Torah to the People, a podcast from Temple Israel in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm Rabbi Micah Greenstein. We hope you enjoy this selection of our sermons, classes, and conversations with inspiring people from across the Bluff City and around the world. My dear friends, I don't know if you know this, but Judaism is unusual in that it recognizes not one form of religious leadership, but two. The Navi and the Kohen, the prophet and the priest. The prophet, as Rabbi Jonathan Sacks once taught, is a person of drama speaking truth to power. The prophet is unafraid to challenge society as a whole in the name of justice, dignity, decency. No other type of religious personality has had the impact as the prophets of Israel, of whom the greatest was Moses. The priest, by contrast, were for the most part quieter figures, apolitical. They served in the sanctuary rather than in the spotlight of political debate. Yet they, the priests, no less than the prophets, sustain the Jewish people, as we learn in this week's Torah portion, Tzav, which covers chapters 6-8 in the book of Leviticus. After the yuck of those sacrifices in the ancient temple, which, by the way, were mostly connected with our acts of eating. It was like a big kosher Corky's barbecue. Eating is a way for people to feel a sense of community. After offering up the sacrifices to God, the portion concludes with a description of the way that the priests, the Kohanim, were inducted into their sacred duties. Now, another key difference between these two types of religious leaders is that the role of the priest who oversaw the temple rituals was hereditary, passed from father to son. The role of prophet was not hereditary. Moses' own sons did not succeed him. You remember, Joshua, his disciple, did. So the task of the priest was related to his office. It was not inherently personal or charismatic. The prophets, by contrast, imparted their own personality. No two prophets had the same style. Just a few more differences to note. The priests, as we read again this week in the Torah, wore a special uniform. The prophets did not. And the priests were removed from the people. They served inside the temple. There were restrictions on whom they might marry. They couldn't mix with you if it was about purity. The prophet, by contrast, was usually part of the crowd. He might be a shepherd like Moses or Amos, a farmer like Elisha, or, like this week's Haftorah prophetic figure, he could be from the boondocks, a little town named Anatot outside of Jerusalem. His name, Jeremiah. Until a word of warning, inspiration, or vision came to the prophet, there was nothing special in the prophet's work. He was just one of the people. The priest offered up the sacrifices in silence. Prophet served God through words of warning. There is even a word, it's a great crossword puzzle word, based on this week's Haftorah prophet. The word is Jeremiah, which means a hot, angry rant that someone delivers in hope of waking up society and changing society. Jeremiah, who preached in the final days of the southern kingdom of Judah, 597 years before zero, before the Babylonians plundered the first temple in Jerusalem. He was sure of many things. Among them was his belief that sacrifices and prayer alone would not make God happy. Rather, he thundered, sacrifices and prayer had to be accompanied by acts of justice, goodness, decency. The key words in the vocabulary of the priest were kodesh, like kadosh kadosh, and chol, the holy, like tonight and tomorrow's Shabbat, versus chol, the other 6 days of the week. The priest also focused on tahor, what made something pure, versus tameh, impure. Contrast that language with key words in the vocabulary of the prophet. You know some of these words, like tzedek, as in tzedakah, chesed, mishpat, rachamim. What does that mean? Righteousness, justice, kindness, compassion. As Rabbi Sacks wrote, the priest speaks the word of God for all time. The prophet, the word of God for this time. Without the prophet, Judaism would not be a religion of history and destiny. Without the priest, we learn about this week, the Jewish people would not have become a people of eternity. Now, while the priest and the prophet, the Kohen and the Navi, serve different roles to keep the Jewish people going and to keep society going, a big lesson we can learn from both is that no person is too special to be involved in small things. And I want to give you an example of that that a lot of people overlook when they read this week's Torah portion. As lofty as the priest and prophet were, we learn this week, they did what we call menial chores, just as we all do, whether taking out the garbage, doing the laundry, doing the dishes, walking the dog, checking the water pressure on your hot water tank as I did yesterday, or making the bed, which my wife says I do not do well. Doing chores is one of the most basic parts of living as part of a family, no matter what your job is, when you're not at home. This week, we learn that the priest, after offering up a grain offering or burnt animal offering or a shalom offering, dressed in fancy linen garments, would take the ashes and place them next to the altar as the smoke rose up to God. Hence the word olah, you've heard aliyah, to go up. But after that, we read, the priest would then take off his fancy clothes, change into other clothing, and actually carry the ashes outside the camp. I thought about this last night when I got home in my suit very late from work. I walked into the house. I saw the hint my wife left me. It was the garbage drawer in the kitchen open and full. I took off this very suit jacket after a day of rabbinic service, and I took out the garbage. As our brilliant Reformed Jewish commentator, Jeff Salkin, puts it, when it comes to the he didn't say this, I'm just adding to what he said. When it comes to the forerunner of the synagogue, the tabernacle, the cleanup crew consisted not of the maintenance staff, not of the lowliest, but of the holiest, the priests themselves. So what do we learn from this? No matter how important the priest or prophet may have been, both got down and dirty. It's a lesson in humility versus the narcissism that can go to the heads of people in high places, priest or prophet, people with power, people, whether it's fame, whatever.
Salka notes the rabbinic record that these high-level priests reportedly competed to do what some might call lowly work. There was so much competition, we're told, that two priests once ran up the ramp of the ancient temple fighting to get to the top with the ashes, and one of them pushed the other and broke his leg. Here's how the early rabbis said the problem was fixed. This is literally from our ancient rabbinic literature. There was a daily lottery to see which priest would have the privilege of climbing up the ramp to the top of the altar and carry away the holy ashes. It's not just in our priests or rabbis, but in all our leaders. We want to see humility, right? Not arrogance. After all, to walk humbly is the most famous teaching of the prophets and a prime characteristic of Moses. I want to close with a story I just learned this week. During the Holocaust, the great German rabbi Leo Beck was a prisoner in the Theresienstadt concentration camp where Anne Frank died. Some of you may have been there. Rabbi Beck was the undisputed leader of all German Jewry, a man so respected, if you can believe this, that even the Nazi officers showed deference to Rabbi Leo Beck. Rabbi Beck stayed with his community in Berlin, even though he had many chances to leave. And then he accompanied his people to that awful, awful place. And yet, what did he do in the concentration camp? He became what they called a horse, a human horse, pulling a garbage wagon like other prisoners were made to do. Rabbi Beck somehow survived and later said, quote, "I was quite happy doing this. The other horse harnessed to the same cart next to me," he said, "was a distinguished Jewish philosopher in the concentration camp. We had wonderful conversations," he said, "about ethics and religion as we dragged the refuse through the mud," end quote. Rabbi Beck knew that there was dignity, even in a place of hell, even in demeaning work, and that our common humanity can be found among the highest leaders when we remember that no one is too special to be involved in small things. These are lessons not only leaders can learn. I hope you agree these are lessons each of us can practice and emulate. And let us say, amen.